This is Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds. How does the game of baseball mirror society? Today's guest, Dr. Leslie Heafy, sheds light on this question in her research of America's pastime.
This gives opportunities that they wouldn't get otherwise, gives them confidence, gives them all of those things that we want people to have, and the society as a whole benefits.
Dr. Heafy is Associate Professor in the Department of History at Kent State Stark. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the invite.
What inspired you to become an expert in baseball, particularly in the subject of the Negro Leagues and women in baseball?
I've always been a baseball fan for as long as I can remember, since I was a little kid. My dad loved baseball, so that's the typical story. The odd thing is I have three brothers, and growing up, none of them really liked baseball, so I was always sort of somebody had to, and that became me. And growing up in New York, you got to hear a lot of baseball between the Mets and the Yankees, so it was always around. And so I never played. I just enjoyed watching it, and then I enjoyed reading about it.
As a historian, were there certain aspects to the history of baseball that drew you to the work that you do now, to the books that you write?
Yeah. Well, the fascinating thing about baseball is, even though football, for a lot of people, or even basketball, is more watched today, baseball still has the longest history and the most history. It's the most written about subject. So for somebody who likes to read, who likes history, it was a nice mesh of that idea. And so I was always just fascinated by the long history. And baseball is a sport that has changed relatively little over the however long it's been around. There's debate on that. That's why I was going to say how long. And so it's that part of it that fascinated me. And then reading about baseball, I used to hear stories about certain players that you could never find anything about. And that's what kind of led me toward the Negro Leagues, was the lack of information that was out there.
So how does that history about the Negro Leagues and about women in baseball, how do you see that playing out today? How does that connect to contemporary baseball?
It's an interesting thing. The Negro League part of it is very much a historical interest for people, though occasionally you'll get stories because people are really fascinated, or some people at least, by the relative few number of African Americans that play. And so there's always this question of why is that so? Because in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we kind of peaked with African-American participation, and it's been on a steady decline, actually. And so there's a lot of interest in that particular question today. And a lot of the answer comes from we've turned to Latin America, and so we have a much larger percentage of Latin American players. On the women's baseball side, it's a very fascinating and nice connection to today's game because that is sort of the next frontier, and there's a lot of push to try to get people to recognize that women have the interest, the abilities, the skills to participate both as players and at every other level. And so there's a lot more happening in the women's baseball world. But it was interesting, just yesterday, the two worlds collided because Mamie Johnson died. And she, of course, female pitcher in the Negro Leagues in the 1950s. And she's the last of the women who played in the Negro Leagues. And she died at 82 on the 19th.
Do you think that there is a future for a professional women's league now, or do you see that emerging?
We certainly hope so. I mean, that's the goal. And I'm glad you asked it that way, because usually the question is people, will there be a female playing in the major leagues? That's a much less likely scenario and not really what most female ballplayers want. They would like to see a revival of the league from the 1940s and 50s, where women can play against other women, where the competition level, all of those kind of things. And so with the increasing number of teams that are playing, it's definitely a possibility. This coming year in 2018, in August, the Women's World Cup, which gets played every 2 years, is going to be in the U.S. for the first time, and it'll be playing in Florida. So people are going to get a chance to see the highest level women's baseball, which a lot of people don't know is even being played. So for them to actually get to see it, I think is going to potentially give rise to maybe some interest. So we hope so.
Do you think that it will sort of get a little more attention if it's in a global context? You mentioned the World Cup.
Right now, that is the primary way it gets attention. Most people don't realize there's been a World Cup since this will be the sixth one. There's been a Women's World Series that started in 2004. There are between 12 and 14 countries where women's baseball is being played. And in some countries, like Australia, to the same extent as their men's teams. And so there's a much greater interest in it globally. Canada, Japan, the United States are all huge participants. And in fact, you know, Major League Baseball calls theirs the World Series. It's not, because it's the U.S. and occasionally it's been Canada, and that's it. But in women's baseball, it truly is that idea. And so we've gotten a lot of push from other countries. And if you know U.S. history, right, we don't like to fall behind other people. So in some ways, we're hoping that might help and work in their favor.
Yeah. Have these efforts taken any lessons from the sort of period, the sort of World War II era when women's baseball was?
I think the lesson, the biggest lesson, is that there are and always have been women interested in baseball, because I don't think a lot of people believe that. Often the answer you get, well, they just play softball. And I'm like, no, they do, but that's a different game, and it is a different game. And so I think that's the biggest lesson that you get, is the number of teams, the amount of interest, and the interest came from the players and the fans, because the league was only supposed to last till the end of the war, and it ended up lasting till 1954. So you've got a much longer trajectory than most people realized. And it didn't make a lot of money, but it garnered a lot of interest, and I think that's the key lesson that you can take. And the other amazing thing about that league was, and maybe another lesson, if people really stop to think about it, is the number of women who participated in the league who went on then to go on for higher ed degrees, to work in professions that they would not normally have, and almost all of them credit their experience in baseball. And so if we look at that as another thing to push and say to people, but this gives opportunities that they wouldn't get otherwise, gives them confidence, gives them all of those things that we want people to have, and this would be a way to do that, and the society as a whole benefits.
Thank you for joining us today.
No problem. It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking with Dr. Leslie Heafy, Associate Professor of History at Kent State University at Stark. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning at 7 on 89.7 WKSU.